leads to the love, and it leads to the joy, and it leads to the peace. It leads to the understanding and the everlasting life that only God's way can provide. If you'll remember the graphic that we had up earlier, it talked about the society itself as being bombarded with phrases like eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. The phrase you only live once, or you only have to go around one time in life, so live it to all with all the gusto that you can. It's all good. And all of these phrases, they're empty slogans. They lead people to empty lives. And it is really sad, because what all of these phrases tend to teach people is that you are nothing. You're just a mistake, or some kind of the result of some primordial sludge. You don't have a soul. There's nothing after death. You don't have anything to look forward to. And so you live your life any way you want. You live in dissipation. You live building kingdoms. It doesn't matter. You just do whatever you want. Eat, drink, and be merry. Because tomorrow you're just simply going to die. And that's the end of all things. It's kind of a pathetic life. And yet that is exactly what's being taught. And so we remember then Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20 that we read this morning, you have not so learned. And we can be rejoicing and be thankful in the church that is not what we learned, because that is not what Jesus Christ taught. We noted that Jesus was not the advocate of spiritual darkness or of moral lewdness. He didn't have that ideal that you only live once and so eat, drink, and be merry. But that Christ changes lives. He changes lives in such a way that we can walk away from such kind of behavior. And that we can find that rest that He promised just simply by coming to Him in spirit and truth. Peter said you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. And then he said, or from your aimless conduct. Our aimless conduct is the it's all good. You only live once. Eat, drink, and be merry. You're going to die. The empty way of life. But Peter says we were not redeemed from the aimless conduct, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And that's where we are. So we must learn that becoming a Christian, it demands a radical change in the way in which we walk, in the way in which we live our lives. The old man with his deeds must be put off, and the new man is molded after the likeness of Christ Jesus. That's what Paul taught us. And so we must renew our inward man day by day. Renew that inward man day by day. That comes from reading God's Word. It comes from opening the book. We must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It comes from opening the book. It's all accomplished by feeding your soul by the Word of God, which teaches you to walk in the ways of God. And thinking on these things, meditating on the things that are true, meditating on the things that are honest, meditating on the things that are pure, meditating on the things that are lovely, and the things of good report, Philippians 4 and 8. And that all comes down to one thing, that it teaches us how to walk in a way that pleases God. And that's what we discussed this morning. So from here, I'd like to focus on just three. In fact, I'm learning sign language. That's not three, that's W. This is three. Three There's just three more aspects and then the lesson will be finished. If we have not so learned from Christ, that's what Paul said, right? You have not so learned. So if we have not so learned, then what have we so learned about our walk? In other words, so far as we have learned how to and how not to walk. We talked about walking worthy. We talked about walking worthy of the gospel. And we also talked about walking of the in the Lord, fully pleasing Him, and not according to this world, and walking in the humility of our minds. So we want to finish up. And the first thing we want to look at tonight is walk in good works. That's something that we are asked to do. In Ephesians, we're God's workmanship. That's what we are. And we are to walk in good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, workmanship refers to anything at all that is made. That's what that word means. It's a simple word. It refers to anything that's made. This is workmanship. In fact, this is workmanship. My jacket is workmanship. Anything. It could be a painting. Workmanship. You know, it could be a sculpture. Workmanship. Or it could be a book. Interesting, when I was looking books up, I looked up literature, great literature. And I scanned through thousands upon thousands of images of books. And you know why there was one book that was missing? The greatest book ever written. But I found out from my daughter-in-law that this isn't literature. It's a book in a class, all of its own. That's how they classify this book. And that's a good thing, because it is. But you know what? When we think about this, what do you do with all these things? What do all these things have in common? What does that have in common with that and have in common with that? They're all going to perish. They're all going to be gone one day. They're going to be of non-existence. But the only one thing that we know for certain is that God alone can make man. The psalmist wrote in his Psalms, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us. And not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." You see, when we think about how we should walk in this world, we have a Creator God. And He made us and said, "This is the way I want you to walk." And we know that people didn't walk the way God wants them to walk. And in our studies on Sunday morning that are so wonderful from Brother Randy teaching us about Noah and the flood, and the people, their hearts were continually evil. And God destroyed the world. And the world will be destroyed again one day. But we need to recognize that He is the mighty Creator. By His hand we were made. He's the potter, we're the clay. And He is the one who directs our steps if we want to be the good man. If we want to be the good man. The finished product of God's creation is a spiritual creation to be found in Christ Jesus, the soul of man that is eternal. And this verse says that the Ephesians, and we're going back to Ephesians 2 and 10, it was created, that they were created, or that you might say recreated, in Christ Jesus. So that's where we need to focus. When we think about walking in good works, we're walking in the works that we were created to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul said, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new." Boy, God can do that in a click of a finger, in a blink of an eye. in a twinkling, in a vapor of a moment, God can take you from where you are and put you someplace brand new. He can take that hardship walk that you have been bearing all these years, and He can, with just a few steps on your part, He can release all that load, and He can make all things new. Who else can do that? I know people that have spent year upon year upon year of counseling. And there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying that you should never see a counselor, but I'm telling you that my experience is that most people, when they start seeing a counselor, they never stop. It doesn't stop. You just go on and on and on. In Christ, we are made to walk in the good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We need to walk as children of the light is our second point tonight. Ephesians and we have something very much in common. We are the children of the light. That's what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5 and 8. You were once in darkness, he said, and you are in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Again, that's that same concept. If you just listen to the words, he says, you were once in darkness. You once had the weight of the world upon your shoulders. You once begged for mercy from God in your own private times. You are the one who wants to do right but feels as though you're trapped and you can't. God says you were once in that darkness, but now you are in the light. He's telling us it's possible to go from dark to light. It's possible to go from misery to joy. It is possible to have all the pains of life as being totally released and find the great joy in God. Because now, with a simple decision to obey God, you are now a child of the light. And Paul taught that for a Christian, it should make a difference in one's behavior. You know, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. There should be a difference in the behavior. And that difference is something that lifts you up. It's something that makes you feel good. It's a difference that is rooted and grounded in Christ and His blood and in that saving grace. And there's nothing like it in the world. And there's so much a difference that Paul describes it as being the difference between light and dark. Between light and dark. He's saying, you know, you're in that room at night and the light goes out, it's dark. You stumble, you run into things. God's the one who turns on the light of your life. He said, now notice this, he said they were sometimes in darkness. Not that they were in darkness. They were sometimes in darkness. They were once in darkness. Although that was true. But he's referring to their lives. He's referring to the way that they learned to walk and not their environment. He's not thinking about a physical light and dark. He's talking about their spiritual lives. Their ability to have the ignorance or the desire to turn away from sin, that ignorance that once saturated their minds and their lives in very epitomic darkness. He can take all that away. Darkness was the characteristic that Paul described as they were to walk. That's what they displayed. Remember that Paul had described the walk of the unbelieving, the Gentiles, as being vanity of their own mind. Remember, that's what he said. It was in the vanity of their own mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. We can call it blindness. We can call it hardness. We can call it stubbornness.
But whatever
word you apply to it, it has to do with your heart, your Bible heart, your mind. And you've allowed your mind to be alienated from God, and that's not what a child of the light does. Well, a child of the light doesn't walk in the vanity of their mind, but in the way of God. They walk in the way of God according to God's will. Let's read something, Ephesians chapter 2. And we're just going to look at verses 11 and 13. 11 through 13. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul writes, "Therefore remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ," without Christ, "at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." But now, two little words. But now, what a great difference those words make in a person's life. Because they imply something's changed. But now, you are the light of the world in the Lord. The light is in the Lord, Paul said. It's not in me, but I am also a light in the world. Christians are not simply in the light, but they are lights. Matthew 5 and 14, we studied that. Jesus, the true, most powerful thing that Jesus ever said about the relationship that we have with Him and with the Father is that He said, "I am the light of the world and you are the light of the world." Think about that. Again, I'm the light of the world and you are the light of the world. We're not left in the dark. We indeed are lights, and we have Jesus Christ in us. And His light emanates from us and reflects from us and shines from us. So that Christians reflect the light by walking according to the commandments of God. That's how we are the children of the light. They are virtually connected with God the Father and Christ the Son, and we then are spiritually enlightened. Remember, it's an open book, not a closed book. You close the book, you walk in darkness. You open the book, you walk in the light. And we walk in the light as children of the light. Outside of the Lord, there's only darkness. There's only despair. There's only discouragement. There's no hope. Eat, drink, and be merry, because you're going to die. The only difference in between those statements that we read, you know, it's all good, eat, drink, and be merry, you're going to die, and you only live once. The only problem with all those is that we are going to die. It's appointed unto all men to die once. But the difference is they think there is an end there, and there is no end. We're not going to die spiritually in the sense our bodies will die, but our souls are going to live on, either to spend eternity with God in heaven or eternity separated from God in hell, and that's going to happen. And the young people today, and even maybe some older people, just don't get it. They don't understand that it isn't eat, drink, and be merry, you die, and it's over. It's eat, drink, and be merry, you die, and you wait for judgment. And that's the point that Paul's making. We walk in good works and we walk as children of the light. And we're connected with God through that light, through that word. So due to our relationship with the Lord who is the light of the world, we also are lights in the world. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, "You are the children of the light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness, 1 Thessalonians 5:5. So what responsibility does that enjoin? What responsibility does that enjoin to walk as children of the light? You know, let your light shine in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation, Paul said in Philippians 2:15. So that connects us with that. It enjoins the following of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. It connects us with John 8:12. In loving, it involves having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather exposing them, he said in verse 11. Exposing them. And so that's part of what we're enjoined to do, is to expose the darkness. And the word fellowship, you know, it refers to having communion or sharing or participation with one another. Therefore, we are not to participate, to have fellowship, or to share in things of the dark. Thus, we are not to encourage, or to approve of, or to endorse such works. If we were to look at very quickly at 2 John, you can see very clearly what the Lord has for us to know. In 2 John, verses 9 through 11, John writes, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. This is somebody who's not walking in the teaching of Christ. He who abides or walks or sticks to the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, if they're not walking in this doctrine, if they're not teaching this doctrine, if they're teaching some other doctrine, do not receive them into your house nor greet them, for he who greets them shares in his evil deeds. This is how we are enjoined with Christ. It's not enough just to refrain from doing things that are considered works of darkness, that live and let live attitude that prevails so much in our society today. But we must actively oppose and expose and reprove error. You know, the Church of Christ, as far as I know from my years of experience, is the only church that works hard to expose error and to avoid letting error come in to the body. We work very diligently to study our Bibles, to open that up and see the light, and to let that light be a part of the worship and a part of the work and a part of the children of the light. And that's the job. That's how we're enjoined to Christ. We actively oppose. In Ephesians 5 and verse 13, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. When you walk into a room again, you turn on the switch, everything there is manifest. Everything in that room is visible. There's a fellow named Phillips who said, for the light is capable of showing up everything for what it really is. That's what this commentator said, referring to this subject. It's able to show up everything for what it really is. And that's what God's Word does. If somebody's teaching error, God's Word shows it up for what it really is. If somebody's walking in sin, God's Word shows it up for what it really is. You see, God's already made judgments about what's right and right, what's wrong. We just need to walk as children of the light. Christians reprove, expose the unfruitful works of darkness by turning on the light of God's revelation. And that's what it means to be a child of God, walking as a children of the light. Lastly, finally, walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. Ephesians 5:15, see that you walk circumspectly and not as fools, but as wise. Paul is saying to us, look carefully how you walk. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if I'm using God's Word, it's opening up and showing me step by step where I'm going. Paul's saying, look, I want you to be careful about how you walk. The Expositor's Bible says it this way, show that you are not fools, but wise to observe your steps and to seize your opportunities in these evil times. Days are so perilous that you need your best wisdom and knowledge of God's will to save you from fatal stumbling. That's what the Expositor's Bible says. King James says, walk circumspectly. The ASV uses the word walk carefully. The Greek word itself means precisely, with precision and accuracy, we want to walk. What Paul is saying here is pretty simple. He says, be careful where you step. He says, there is danger out there. He says, it's not all safe. This is not kind of contrary to it's all good. And he says, there are snares and there are enemies and pitfalls in life. And as we are a people who walk circumspectly, we're a people who are seeking to avoid these things. Be careful. You know, for example, a tightroper. They have to be careful when they walk, don't they? I've seen tightrope walkers in the circus, and they get up there and they look like they're falling all over the place just to scare you, but they're just being really, really careful. And they seldom ever actually do fall after having practiced and accurately and precisely their steps. Because if they don't, they do fall. And the same thing's true with a Christian. We need to be careful, circumspect. We need to be watching and making sure that step by step through this life that we're walking as the children of the light, that we're walking in the good works of God, and we're walking upright and circumspectly. I remember having a discussion with a Vietnam veteran who had told me that they learned to, in their basic training, they had learned to do something called night walk. And I didn't know what that was, but that's what he said. He said they learned to do something called night walk. They would put these soldiers out into the boonies with a compass. And they had to reach a certain destination that night. And there were enemies and traps all over the place. But they had to be very careful how they walked so that they didn't get entrapped. And they were walking in the woods at night, and that can be very noisy, so they had to learn how know how to walk without making all that noise so that those enemies out there wouldn't hear them. And in Vietnam, there were things called booby traps and landmines and snares and trip wires and something called a punji stake, which I don't even know what that is, but it wasn't good. And they learned how to walk circumspectly. That's what the soldiers learned to do. That's what we need to do. Why be careful? Why be careful? Because it's wise. It's a wise thing that God has imparted upon us, that wisdom, that Father of lights that comes from above, that wisdom that comes from above. He's imparted unto us a way to walk that is wise. That's what it is to walk circumspectly. A wise person doesn't drift aimlessly to and fro in life and kind of going wherever life pushes him. A wise person works out his course with great accuracy and great care, like a sailor charting his course, so that he ends up on the shore and not in the middle of some ocean. The traveler studies the map. And the builders follow the blueprint. The wise Christian will plan out his life in view of his desired destination. And that's not just for Christians. Anyone who desires to be with God for eternity, to be with the saints in heaven above one day, needs to to chart out your final destination. You don't leave that up to happenstance. Don't listen to those people who say, eat, drink, and be merry tomorrow, you just die. Plan where you will spend eternity. It's foolish. I'm not ashamed to say you're a fool if you don't take time and plan where you will spend eternity, because that's the final thing. After that, there's nothing. You're either going to be in heaven with God or in hell separated from God. You need to take time, plan where you want to be, and then do whatever it takes to get there. Don't trust your GPS. Sharon and I went on a trip. We're supposed to go to Athens, Ohio, and we went to Athens, Ohio, but it was the wrong Athens. That GPS took us all over the place. Our GPS was set to go to the Holiday Inn Hotel. We ended up in Kentucky somewhere down the long, long, long straight road. And when we came out, there was a clearing and a house and a man with a shotgun. Don't trust your GPS. You see, you've been given a map. Trust the map. God says, He says, come to me, but He doesn't tell you there's no way to get here. He says, you come to me, you'll know the way. Because you have the map. Don't trust the GPS, the computers of this world, the mindset of this world. You trust the map. The map will never lead you astray. Life is short. And the wise will redeem the time. Why? Because it's precious. It's not that there's not enough of it. But we need to make the most of what we have been given. We don't want to waste our time. We don't want to waste life and the life that God has made for us. We cannot redeem time in the sense of buying something back. Wasted hours, wasted days, they're gone. But we need to use the time, redeem the time by using and buying up every single opportunity that comes our way. Today, you have an opportunity to get out of your chair, to walk forward, to be baptized, and be part of that children of God, children of the light, the children who walk in the goodness of God, the children who are walking in the good works. You can be a part of that. Don't waste the time. Because the opportunities are not always going to be there. I like the NIV that says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Take the time. Listen, can we really say of this world that the days are good? I mean, my day was good today. I got to worship with the saints twice so far. I've been able to visit with the saints. I've been able to talk about the great things of God. I've been able to read the Bible. I sat with my children today. It was a good day. But are the days really good? Because as the days wind down to eternity, they're not good. They're not good. The true Christian really is a stranger, a pilgrim, a sojourner in this world here. Remember that song, "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through"? I'd like to, rephrase that a little bit and say, this world is not our home, we're just a walking through. And we're walking as children of the light. We're walking in the good works that God created, and we're walking circumspectly. Heaven is where we want that walk to lead us. That's our destination. What about you? What is your destination? What is your heart telling you right now that you should be doing? Listen to your heart. Don't listen to your feelings. Listen to the heart, which is the Bible mind that God gave you. He gave you a mind that you can reason things out, and in your own mind, your mind's telling you what to do, but your heart is holding you back.
Don't listen to your heart. Listen to your mind. Listen to not to the feelings. Listen to what you know is right. That hands both for the Christian and the non-Christian. The non-Christian needs to stand up, come forward, be baptized. The Christian needs to repent of sin. If you have any need this night, whatsoever need that is, I invite you now to come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation, number 818.